Hey, everybody. Welcome to Oliver Happy Hour. This episode, we're talking about credit scores. I'm Daisy O, always ready for the show, here with my lovely siblings, Debbie Dev,
here in the building.
And Darren.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, y'all? Okay, so we have a question of the month, and I'm going to just get straight into it because I do know that this is something that we have talked about or even referenced throughout our conversations. And, you know, I have a testimony to share throughout this about how I raised my credit score over the years, about 200 and so points in maybe about 2 years. So I'll talk to you all about some like tips and tricks on how to get out of debt, really. You know, with the cost of rent in California being so high, we talked about this in the last episode, we have to find little ways to not only make our money work, but make our money work for us and not live outside of our means. So that's something I had to come to quick realization about over the years. The question is how to raise credit score and reach financial freedom. How do we do that? How is it possible? Some people don't think that it is, but do you guys think it's possible to reach financial freedom?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's what's a trick, I guess. You got to trick the system, I guess.
You got to know the ins and outs.
Well, yeah.
The highways and the byways.
Not trick the system, but yeah, you got to know how to use the credit to, you know, work in your favor.
Right. I just have a quick question. Like, what's some ways or the tricks that you think you could use to either raise your credit score or reach financial freedom?
I think for one, my biggest thing is don't carry a big balance. My credit score has always gone up. It just went up because I got my tax refund and I used most of it to pay down my credit cards.
Yes, Darren.
I actually used mostly all of it to pay down my credit cards so that now.
That's good.
Right. Because now I'm like, okay, now I can pay off the balance each month. But I think since like the fall, it kind of has gotten a little bit expensive because, you know, I was working on different projects. Mm-hmm. I put one of the cars in the shop. Mm-hmm. I was working on, you know, just getting certain materials and stuff for some of the projects around here. And I had gotten to the point where I was just like, I can only put a little bit on this, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what's helped increase my credit score recently is paying down the balance.
That is actually, Darren, if you look up ways to raise your credit score, one of the first rules is pay down your high balance credit cards with any extra money that you have.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, and that's like literally after taxes, if you listen to financial experts, they'll say use that money to pay down your credit cards that have a high interest rate, because credit cards have the highest interest rate out of any loan that you could possibly take.
And they're like 27% nowadays. It used to be like 19-18%. Now it's like 27%.
Crazy.
Yes. So just think about that. If you pay for a large purchase or something on your credit card, or maybe you pay things, but you don't pay off the balance every single month, that's going to accrue interest, 27%. So instead of taking, a year to pay it off, it's going to take you 30 years to pay off that credit card. Yeah, and that's what nobody is talking about, or most people who just are not financially literate actually know. So that's a really good example, Darren. I'm glad. Kudos to you. I'm so glad you did that. That's a huge accomplishment.
And then last fall, I had a credit card that I had consolidated, like for my other main two credit cards, I had consolidated a loan, and it was like, at first it was like $8,000, like that I was in debt for, because a lot of that debt was actually I accrued at the beginning of the pandemic when it was just me living at the house and I didn't have any tenants, so I was paying some of the bills with a credit card.
You gotta live, gotta pay the bills.
Yeah.
I'm telling
So I finally paid that one down and paid it off like last in October. Like October was or November was like the last payment for that. I remember having to take money even from my savings and just being like, I want to be done with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you saw that money just not even going down, right? Like the interest
rate.
Well, it was
going down. And that for that card, I was paying like $600 a month.
Okay. See,
I'll
that's
pay like
$600
a month.
Yeah.
At first, the balance was like $8,000. Yeah. I had went on a trip to Europe and I was like, okay, I'm going to use this card because that card didn't have any foreign transaction fees. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I had knocked it down and then like I was, you know, in Europe and like it was like,
it went up again.
Yeah, like $2,500. It went up. Yes. Because I was just like, hey, fuck it. I'm in Europe.
Right.
I'm going to get me a taxi cab. I need to get me a taxi to go to here. And, you know, everything I was paying using that in my, like, on my Apple Watch, you know, on Apple Pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it took me that long, though. It took me over, like, last year was 2023. It probably took me, like, 2.5 years to pay it all the way down.
Yeah. And you were paying above the minimum balance.
Oh,
though,
yeah, yeah.
So that's
Also I wasn't paying the minimum. Yes. Like, the minimum balance was, like, $100, but I was paying $600.
Right, which is the main reason why you saw it go down.
Yeah, yeah.
If you only pay the minimum every single month, it would have just stayed the same. Right. You know, just it would have slightly went down. Mm-hmm. But, Dev, what do you think? What are some tips and tricks?
I just pay every 2 weeks, every time I get paid, I just put basically I pay twice a month on it. So,
okay.
And then every time I use it, then either like I know the balance I get what do you call it?
Points?
I get the credit goes higher, I guess. I get a higher credit line.
Yeah.
Yeah, credit line
but
increase.
I know that. I wanted to ask, like, is that always good?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Because it actually, it means that you're using a lesser percentage of the amount of credit that you have. So when your credit limit increases, that's actually a good thing for you because whatever you're using, that percentage is going to go down because you have more available.
Okay.
And you want to be below 30% of credit utilization. So like
across all of your credit that you have.
Okay. So if I have like two cards with $5,000 each, so I have $10,000 and I have $2,500 in the account, that's 25%.
25%.
And so I'm below 30, which is good. But if I have like 6,300 and you know I'm using 63% of my utilization, my credit score is going to go down.
Right, exactly.
It's almost a catch 22 because it's like, well, damn, nobody wants to give you another credit card because they're like, oh, this person, you know,
yeah. So, and then I pay above the
minimum,
right. Yeah, so I basically pay $300 on it a month.
Yeah,
the balances. I mean the what is it? You just said it.
Minimum credit payment? Utilization. I don't know, Devin.
See, I hate these terms. Like, the terms. I'd be like,
and
what?
You know what? You're not the only one, honestly. And that's what I want to talk about. Like, you have to know the terms. You have to know the vocabulary so that you feel comfortable and confident whenever you are trying to raise your FICO score or have better credit to do more things. Because having high credit allows you to make really amazing decisions for yourself financially and have more opportunities. They will give you more money if you have a high credit score.
Credit score. Yes.
But Darren, let's go into the history of credit and the credit card. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah. So why don't we talk about the history of the credit card, y'all? So we're going to talk a little bit about the ancient times. Back in ancient times in Mesopotamia and Egypt and shit like that. People would be writing credit on tablets of clay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they even have it back on clay tablets, people owing people money. Because, you know, that's all it was like, you owe me money. You owe me something, motherfucker. Like, you owe me 5 shillings for this.
Right.
Remember I gave you them 2 loaves of bread last time? Shit, you better give me my money. I got this on this clay tablet right here that you owe me this. I will break it when you pay me back.
Right, right.
Well, I'm going to have to go whoops upside your motherfucking head with some of this wheat and barley over here, nigga. You think Egyptians were saying, nigga?
No, that term was not in existence.
Okay, my bad. We have to try and cut.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, back in those days, I'm trying to pull up the list that I had, but okay, here it is. So back in 1914, Western Union introduced a product called Metal Money, which turned out to be one of the first consumer credit cards. Mm. These metal plates essentially let consumers defer payments on some of the money they owed, similar to the credit cards and lines of credit we use today. In the 1920s, individual firms such as oil companies and hotel chains also began issuing lines of credit to consumers in various forms. Hmm. Then, in the 1930s, something called the charger plate came into circulation. Each charger plate, was a 2.5-inch by one and a quarter inch rectangular sheet of metal that was used to record information about a customer, such as their name and where they live. The customer would also sign a small piece of paper they used the charger plate to make purchases. According to the National Museum of American History, charger plates were developed as early as 1928 and issued throughout the 30s to the 50s. One of the next iterations of the modern credit card arrived in 1950. It was the Diners Club card, which became the first multi-purpose charge card. That year, after a businessman named Frank McNamara forgot his wallet at a diner, during a dinner at out in New York City, McNamara and a partner worked together to come up with a solution that would help Americans avoid the similar embarrassment, and they came up with the Diners Club card. According to Diners International, membership for the card expanded to major cities and reached 42,000 within the next year and continued growing in the future. Do you guys remember hearing about Diners Club card?
No.
If you go to, like, definitely, like, middle America, well, probably, like, 20 years ago, if you went to places, they would say, we accept Diners Club cards.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You know, that was, like, one of the first, before American Express and MasterCard and many of these other big companies came around, the Diners Club card was universally accepted.
Mm. Okay. You know? Worldwide?
Nationwide. Maybe some places across the world, but that's really how Visa... How Visa and MasterCard and many of these companies have become even larger is because they do offer payment across the country. I mean, across the world, across the globe.
Yeah.
It is almost universally accepted. Sometimes I go, like I told you guys, I went to Europe. Everybody takes the damn card. Mm-hmm. I was down in Mexico. Everybody takes the credit card down there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? They do.
Credit cards are pretty universal now, these lines of credit. I mean, they're for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So American Express was the first major players to issue its own charge card in 1958. Public interest was so substantial that American Express issued 250,000 of its cards before the official launch date, despite the card's high annual fee, which was $6 at the time.
Mm.
So, yeah, so MasterCard came out in 1979, which was an interbank card association. And then IBM came out with the magnetic strip that eventually turned into what became our plastic version of the cards with the magnetic strip.
Mm-hmm.
So IBM, you know, definitely start passing on. And then EMV was the it's the chip that was created in 1994. But, you know, it's universal now that we all have a chip in our card due to theft protections.
Mm-hmm.
And then the credit score. Which stands for the Fair Isaac Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
The original version of credit scores came into being in the 1800s, as early as 1841. Mm-hmm. The Mercantile Agency, an early credit bureau for businesses, eventually became Dun & Bradstreet and began soliciting information about consumers in order to begin creating profiles that relate their individual character and assets.
Mm-hmm.
So around then, you know, you're trying, business associations were paying for information about consumers on whether or not they would give you a line of credit or not, because they want their money back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Fair and Earl Isaac created the first credit scoring system, the Fair Isaac Company, in 1956, but the modern FICO scoring system wasn't actually released to the public until about 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been many iterations of the FICO scores since those early days and many changes with them. So today it includes a Vantage credit score. But FICO scores are still considered standard when we're talking about a person's credit, because it's used by 90% of top lenders. So who really uses the FICO score? It's these lenders who are letting you borrow their money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So 90% of the top lenders use that FICO score. So over the years, legislation has helped shape the credit card market that we know today. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act in 1974 prohibited race-based credit decisions. Mm-hmm. But we know that that's bullshit because right. that still happens today.
Yes.
You know, so in 1974, they said that you cannot take into consideration someone's race as a means to give them credit or not, mm-hmm. or even for women. Mm-hmm. Whether or not women could have a credit card, because it wasn't until that Equal Credit Opportunity Act is until women had the opportunity to get their own card without a male cosigner. Mm-hmm. So the Truth in Lending Act happened in 1968 to protect consumers, requiring lenders and credit card issuers to disclose relevant information about the terms and costs of their loan products. So it wasn't until the 60s until people can say, this is how much interest that we're going to charge you. Mm. You know, we're going to fully disclose this before you get into this program. Hmm. The Fair Credit Billing Act of 1974. Was designed to amend and improve upon that law that passed in 1968 against unfair and unlawful retaliation that can impact their credit standing. So they must promptly post payments made by consumers to their accounts and either refund overpayments or payments that are above the amounts due. So even that, right? So even, you know, if you've made an overpayment, people not giving you your money back or people not telling you when you've posted payments. So they need to immediately post the payments to your accounts and not take 2 or 3 weeks. You know, so also the Equal Opportunity Act. You got the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act of 1977. The Credit Card Responsibility and Disclosure Act of 2009, which is passed, you know, during Obama's first term. That act had all credit card statements put on there how long it would take you to pay off if you pay the minimum balance.
Yes,
that was new. That didn't exist on credit card statements until this act in 2009. Mm-hmm. For example, credit card companies now are required to tell customers how long it would take to pay off their current balances each billing cycle if they made only the minimum payment.
Right.
They also prohibit credit card companies from increasing interest rates on future purchases or existing balances without a notification in advance. Damn, they actually did that shit. They would change the interest rate,
yeah, on you, especially if you weren't paying the bill or if they just wanted more money at the time because you were spending more but you weren't paying the balance off. So they saw that and they were like, oh, we'll charge you more because that's more money we can get from you over time.
So any questions, ladies, about this short history?
That is a short history, but a lot of history. And I would say the majority of changes have happened like in the last 50 years, you know, or 60, last 100 years. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting that most of the things that impact us have only changed very recently. Speaking of U.S. credit, Gen Xers have the highest credit average of about $9,123. Why do you guys think that is? Why is Gen X having a credit balance that's so high?
They got more kids. They probably got kids in college now. They probably got mortgages and trying to buy a new car, all kind of stuff like that.
Right.
I don't think that's probably what it is. And they probably be the ones that letting their kids play Roblox and all kind of shit like that, order stuff online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the credit cards are attached to the gaming systems that they purchase, and the kids just be running a car.
Running it up, Joe. Just running it up.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, it's like kind of also an indicator of future generations. Like Gen X comes before us, the millennials. Mm-hmm. So are we the millennials? Is that
we're millennials.
We are the millennials. So honestly,
Gen X is like Nikki and Tiffany.
Right, exactly. So they're before us. So what does that mean for millennials? Like, what is our average? And will it be higher? Will it be lower? Have we learned our lessons? Like, that's a lot. But the average, you said you have one here, Darren, the average credit card debt is $6,500.
For millennials.
Millennials.
I'm sorry. That's the average across the country.
Across the country.
With everybody, it's about $6,500.
Okay. So Gen Xers are above that, you know, by a certain percentage, which is pretty, you know, that's relatively high. Yeah. But as we're thinking about this, FICO, Darren, you just gave us the history on the FICO score. But the range is from 300 to 850, right? Mm-hmm. Did you guys, when did... wasn't it only 800 at a certain point?
Yes.
It went up by 50 points, right? Mm-hmm. So that just happened actually most recently, which, Darren, if you can, like, look that up, we could talk about that. But because when I think that that's very recent, because when I purchased my first condo, it was up to 800. Yeah. And so I'm just like, when did it get to 850? It had to be in the last.
So actually, it said earlier models of the FICO, it did go up to 900. However, the modern Vantage score for FICO only goes up to 850.
Oh. Wow. Okay. So, also, I wanted to mention that with this FICO score, you have different companies that run it. So you have Experian, right? Mm-hmm. Then you also have TransUnion, mm-hmm. and then you also have there's another
Equifax.
One, Equifax. Mm-hmm. So those are the three that a company will use. One of those that they have a consistent relationship with, or they'll use all three, mm-hmm. Depending on what you're trying to purchase. For a mortgage, typically they try to look at all three because they want to see, like, what's the highest one, mm-hmm. and they will basically lend you money for the highest FICO score that you have. Mm. For a car, you may go to a car dealer and they'll only show you the TransUnion, mm-hmm. but your TransUnion may be lower than your Equifax.
Right.
So one of the tricks is to take... You don't have to have them run your credit score, actually. If your credit score is ran within the last 30 days, because the more times it's ran, actually, it decreases it. Mm-hmm. You can bring your most recent FICO score, like your actual credit report, mm-hmm. to the car dealer. And as long as it's within the last 30 days, they don't have to run your credit. So that keeps you from, like, actually having to have your credit run every single time
right.
you want to make a new purchase. Just take your most
take a copy.
These credit reports are free to yes. download, mm-hmm. because one of the rules that basically, I think it was the Obama rule, was that
you get a free credit. Yeah, you get a free credit report yes. each year.
Exactly.
You're eligible for it. You just got to go to freecreditreport.com. F-R-E-E. That's spelled for you. Yeah, anyway, that was actually a different company. I think that got bought out by Credit Karma, but
okay.
Which ended up getting bought out by Intuit. But
yeah.
You should go to the federal government, will allow you, if you go through their site, they'll give you a free credit report.
Yes. So do that every single year and use it when you want to make a large purchase, like a car or something, and you don't want your credit ran. Basically, you can keep that high score and not have your credit ran to reduce that score. But the average American has a FICO score of a 715, mm-hmm. out of that 850, or the Vantage score that Darren was mentioning. And that's relatively high. However, I will say that based on the credit score range, to have exceptional credit, you need an 800 to an 850. But it's excellent, or the Vantage score is between 781 to 850. So your FICO score can be like 800 to 850, and your Vantage score can be a little bit lower. But those are considered anywhere from 781 to 800 is considered exceptional or excellent. Then you have very good or good, which is basically from 661 to 740. Mm-hmm. And good, which is the kind of like in the middle range, it is in the middle, mm-hmm. would be a 601 to 670, right? And then you have fair or poor, I didn't mention good or fair. So good and fair is basically 601 to 670. You can be fair between 601 to 660. Mm-hmm. Poor and fair is 500 to 580. And then you have poor and very poor, 300 to 579. Okay. So a lot of people, I would say most individuals, are falling within that good. You know, they're in the good range, mm-hmm. In terms of their FICO score. But in order to have financial freedom, I would say you really want to aim for the exceptional and excellent score. Mm-hmm. So anywhere from 781 to 800 is that's where you want to be whenever you're on a path, or if you want to have financial freedom to make certain decisions, if you don't want to be rejected, mm-hmm. by a lender, mm-hmm. having an excellent credit score also gives you a lower interest rate. So when you apply for a credit card, or if you apply for a car loan and you have a fair or a good credit score, mm-hmm. your interest rate will be significantly higher, and they will charge you more per monthly payment that you have, mm-hmm. if you just have a good or fair credit score. Mm-hmm. But if you're exceptional or excellent, that interest rate that they offer you is lower because there's a trust there as a customer. They trust you to pay that money back. And so they give you a lower interest rate as an incentive to actually move forward with the loan that they're, you know, trying to offer you. So those are just some kind of things to be mindful of is who are you asking for money? You know, what does this bank represent? Who are the banks? Who are the major banks? You have Chase, you have Bank of America, you have Capital One. Mm-hmm. So what Darren wanted to ask the question, and I do agree, like, do we have a favorite credit card? I know I do, but I'll offer it off to y'all and then I'll, you know, kind of share like which ones are my favorite that I use every month.
I just have Capital One.
Okay. Devin sticks with her Capital One. You know, Capital One just bought Discover.
No, I didn't. What?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's a major thing in the news right now. Capital One just purchased Discover. It was a huge billion-dollar deal.
Oh, yeah, that was just three weeks ago. $35.3 billion, which would make Capital One the largest credit card company by loan value.
Wow. Yes. So that was
be approved by federal regulators.
Mm-hmm. It's in the works right now. I mean, it just definitely went through, but that's a huge thing for Capital One. Mm-hmm. So they will now be the largest lender over Chase and Bank of America. Because before they were like the leading, but now Capital One purchasing Discover for $1 billion, $35 billion.
That's pretty.
But Discover was often used also as an international
because my card that I was telling you guys about, that's a Discover card. And I would say I don't really use it, locally because I don't get as many points because it's like a credit union credit card. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Discover was like it wasn't accepted like everywhere in the United States, but it is accepted like you mentioned like internationally a lot more.
Yes, and so Capital One knows that. Capital One was not. Capital One is typically Visa or MasterCard. Mm-hmm. So purchasing now Discover, Capital One has like this huge advantage over Chase and other banks that only use MasterCard or only use Visa. Mm-hmm. So now that Capital One has Discover, they can definitely go a lot more international and offer that to their customers to have those international benefits. It was a huge thing. But anyways, okay, Devin, like you like Capital One, girl. Yes. So Darren, what about you?
I mostly use, I have two cards from Chase that, I have like an Amazon Prime card and I have a Chase Freedom card, so not bad. Then I have this credit union card, I have a Macy's card, I have a Gap card.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, you know. Then I have like some Task, cards?
Debit cards.
Those are like FHA cards. Okay. But, I have those. Yeah, I just have those lines of credit. I was about to get an Apple card, but I didn't choose to get one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I get credit cards because of the benefits. And I have just a handful, you know what I mean, for a long time. And this is part of my testimony. I went through a lot of like financial issues, difficulties, especially during the recession. Mm. After that, I decided not to have any credit cards. Mm-hmm. I basically cut up all my credit cards and was like, I'm not using any of these. I'm pretty sure I closed the accounts and I settled them. So I basically used a financial freedom company to settle those accounts and they were paid off. But we made a deal. The company basically made a deal and said, okay, Daisy will pay this amount. Mm-hmm. Instead of this larger amount, and then Bank of America and Chase at the time both agreed to that. So once I paid off those debts, I was free and clear, and I was like, I'm not using these credit cards no more, right? But that's not exciting. Using my credit cards for about 5 years brought my credit score down, even though I was paying my business credit card every single month, and I was paying, you know, all of my other bills every single month from my debit card, my credit score went down. So when it came time to like purchase a house, my credit score was only like 683. I just went through those numbers with y'all, right? So I only had like a fair credit score. But because of that, basically, they were going to charge us a lot more. So when you're trying to purchase property, they look at both co-signers' mm-hmm. credit scores. So that would have brought me and Mary down, you know what I mean? So I was not on the loan, I'm on the title, mm-hmm. but that's another choice that you have to make as a couple or if you're with somebody purchasing things.
Yes.
Financially, it worked for us because we got a lower interest rate mm-hmm. and also they didn't have to run my credit, you know, well, they did run my credit the first time. That's how we found out. But after that, I was like, you know what? I'm never going to be put in this situation again.
Yeah.
I'm going to work the system and learn how to bring my credit score up. So I researched online and I was like, how do you bring your credit score up significantly in a short amount of time? Mm-hmm. So I'll give you guys the examples of what I did. Devin, you said one, which was to pay the credit card twice. During the payment cycle. Mm-hmm. So you can typically pay a week before
right.
it's due and also 3 days before it's due.
Mm-hmm.
But you never, I try not to pay on the actual payment date unless it's required by the company. Like Chase, you can't set up a couple days before. Like yeah. they make you, if you do auto debit, they make you pay it on the day of.
Okay.
But sometimes I'll just make an extra payment yeah. for Chase. You know what I mean? Especially if I have a higher, I'll just make two payments that month. And what that communicates to the FICO company is, oh, she's making an extra payment mm-hmm. during the month. It's not that she's paying more. It is that she's paying more. So it's like she's paying more and also making an extra payment. So yeah. that's counted towards me.
Yeah.
Right. Darren, you said one as well, which was to pay off the balance.
Yeah.
You just pay off the balance every single month. You don't pay the minimum amount. You pay the balance, which is if you do auto debit, set it up statement balance. That's what you choose. But guess what? That means you got a budget and make sure.
Very, very much so.
That means you got to make sure that money
discipline for
is
sure.
in the bank
yeah.
yes.
every single time
yes.
that auto pay comes out.
Okay.
That takes a lot of discipline. But I did that. And I was like, I'm going to pay the statement balance every single month. Mm-hmm. And I started with one credit card. I started with Capital One. Capital One gives out credit cards to good and fair.
Yes. Yes.
That's what they're known for. If you don't have that great of credit or if you're somewhere in the middle, they give you a credit card. So start there.
I started because they were the ones who got me my car loan. So
okay.
I just was like, okay, well, I was getting these emails for a credit card. And I was just like, okay, I kept up with this. Kept up with my car note, paid it off. So, all right, I'll just stick with y'all.
Right. You trusted them, right? Capital yes. One is a trusting company. Yes. And I do yeah. like them for that because they give you a chance. So once I was doing that, paying off the statement balance, paying twice a month, you know, paying things down very quickly. If I took out more money, I would pay it down in 3 months. You know, I would pay it down in less than 6 months just to make sure that they saw that my available credit, I wasn't using all of my available yes. credit.
Okay.
So then I applied to another card. Me and Mary was like, oh, we need a card that we want to use for our monthly expenses.
Okay.
So we use Amex card. I've always since I started the business, I had the Amex Platinum card, which I'll talk to you about that. That's the best business card that you could possibly get. It's amazing.
Okay.
There's so many great benefits to that. But we just use Amex Platinum Delta card because we were like, we want to travel. We want to use these points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's start to pay our monthly expenses, which are our mortgage comes out of our checking account.
Okay.
You really can't get around that. Like, that's going to come out of checking directly.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, the HOA, car insurance, mm-hmm. your mobile phone, your
cable
bill.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things that just Hulu, mm-hmm. Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all of these
all
things.
The streaming.
Right. Burke Williams membership,
uh-huh.
CVS. Like, things that we're just paying for over the course of the month,
mm-hmm.
use that Delta Platinum card. And guess what? That's thousands of dollars a month that we have already budgeted
mm-hmm.
from our account. And we kind of keep within a certain balance. Like, you know what? We're not going to spend more than $60 a month at CVS.
Right.
Because we have a certain cap on our income. So we're mm-hmm. not going to go above that. So we kind of stick within our fixed budget, which is like things that come out every single month, mortgage, HOA, car insurance, jewelry insurance, you know, electricity bill, gas bill.
Yeah.
These are things that come out every single month and you just do an average, right? So that comes out of our Delta. And then for fun, I just was like, let me just get a City Premier card for my own personal spending. Because I spend money on gas every single month. I like to go out to restaurants. I like to do, you know, travel and things like that. So the City Premier card, you get triple points on supermarkets, air travel, hotel, restaurants, and gas stations.
Okay.
So every time you use it, I just paid $75 on gas today, y'all. $75.
You filled up, right?
But triple $75. That's how much points I got just from using the card once. And that money can be used towards gift cards, for purchases. So I use the cards very strategically. I'm like, City Premier, these are the reasons. I'm not using it to go to Nordstrom Rack.
Right.
Because I don't get triple points. I don't get triples at retail. I don't get triple points at retail stores. I get triple points at restaurants. So I use it at restaurants. And then again, I just got this Chase United card because I like to travel and we like to have, you know, different benefits. I also have the City American card too as a joint credit card. So me and Mary have two joint credit cards. The City American, both are related to travel. Amex and then the City, Amex Delta and the City American. And then I have, you know, Chase United. Mary has Southwest Chase. And then I have this City Premier card. And that's pretty much it. But we use it very intentionally.
Yes.
And that's, you know, the conversation I wanted to have as well is just being mindful of not only your budget, but use these cards for the benefits.
For the benefits, yeah.
Because if I'm paying a yearly fee, mind you, we didn't talk about the annual fees. Darren, you said it was $6 back in.
Oh, yeah, back then. Yeah. Yeah, I only get cards with no fees. I know some cards have annual fees. But, I mean, you got to balance whether or not, you know, you're going to get that back in points and stuff like that. Because, I'm searching for stuff. Because I only have, like, the Amazon Prime card. Like, I use that when I go out to eat because that's just 2%.
Right.
It's not three times. It's just 2%. So it's not, you know, it's not. It used to be more. And then my Freedom card, it used to be more like two times the points, but then they went to a percentage model because both of those cards are run by Chase. And so, but yeah, I'm thinking about it, you know, thinking about different ones that I can get.
Yeah.
Especially for travel.
I would say,
that's what I've been, I know, Daisy, you've been mentioning this, like, girl, get you a credit card for travel because you'll get the points and you'll get the mileage.
Right.
Whatever.
The mileage points.
Yeah, the mileage points or whatever. So.
Especially without using, because I agree, Daisy, I spend a lot of stuff like, if I go and purchase something, I try as much as possible. I never want to use my debit card.
Right.
It's too much fraud. Yeah. You can't get your money back. Exactly. I'd rather just work through Chase because sometimes I'm upset at what the service I got. I'd be like, this was some sorry ass service. I want my money back, Chase.
Right. You know, and they give it to you.
Yeah, and they give me the money back.
I did that so many times.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to. Right. That's what they count
for. Fraud protection, somebody comes and steals your information.
Yes.
Unfortunately, other thing is that, like, you know, using your credit card, you get somehow if they can access it, they can tap into getting your social and stuff like that. So it's always good to try and use Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Apple Pay, you can't really hack Apple Pay as much as you can hack, like, even the chips. The chips, if they have a card reader on it,
right?
They can do that. So is, like, with the mag strip. That can be very unsafe. But, Daisy, what I wanted to touch on that you were mentioning, because we were talking about the Diners Club International, but Discover bought Diners Club International in 2008, and that is how they had their expansion worldwide, is because Diners Club International was all over the world, and so when they purchased that in 2008, then they bought it strategically because of that, and now they're being purchased likely for the assets still.
Yes, exactly. That's why Capital One knows what they're doing. They're very smart in purchasing Discover because they're about to be literally the number one, like, not only just lending source but also the, like, you know, credit lender or whatnot. But even though these cards sometimes have a annual fee, it pays for itself. Me and Mary go to the Delta Lounge. You know, that's money that we don't have to pay for because it's already paid for through our annual fees.
Okay.
I also use the benefits of the other cards as well, where they'll have like these specials or whatnot and say, oh, if you use, if you have a certain merchant offer, say you go shopping at Nike or something like that. So I'm on my credit card apps and I'm like, what's the merchant offer this month? Oh, I get 5% back for just going to Nike. I get 5% back from Nordstrom Drop. So I just be adding all these like merchant offers and you get that money back, you know what I mean, into your pocket, which then pays the annual fee every single month.
That makes sense.
I mean, honestly, but you do have to, I would say me and Mary have a budget conversation and this is something that I'm so glad I have a partner who thinks the same way that I do about money. Is we have this conversation 2-3 times a year where we just sit down and say, what's our spending been like over the last 3 months? You know, how much money do we have coming in? How much money do we want to spend on vacation, on our savings, on different things? Let's make some adjustments. Our HOA bill went up, so we need to make that adjustment to the, you know, and then we just transfer the money from our personal checking into our joint checking. So yeah, I do think having a monthly budget where you have your fixed amounts and then anything else you want to spend. We like CVS because we get Mary's the coupon queen.
No, them coupons, they are they are bomb.
Well, shit, they give you 12 of them on a damn receipt.
Exactly. You might as well put them to use.
So we like to go to CVS for just different, our vitamins, for toothpaste, for mouthwash, whatever it is, we like to go to CVS. So we're like, that needs to be budgeted because we know we go to CVS at least once a month, you know.
Right.
We like to go out or we like to order food in. So we budget it for that. We have groceries, you know what I mean? So we budget for our groceries so that we don't overspend every single month. And I be using them coupons at Ralph's. Like, you know, find where you can save. You get in where you can fit in, okay? But, yeah, I do think that it's possible. And I was lucky enough to get my student loans forgiven during the Biden administration. He gave that time period where it was like, for those years that didn't count before, now they count.
Yeah.
And you had until October of 2022 or something like that to do the recertification. So I was on LBCC, I was on UCLA, and I said, give me the certification letters that prove that I work for y'all.
Okay.
And then by January 1st of 2023, they had cleared all of my student loans. $260,000.
Oh, Jesus.
Completely forgiven because you work for the government. So for those of you that do PSLF, do the certifications every year, okay? Do them. It's going to take you about 10 years to work for a nonprofit, the government, the federal government, the state.
10 years is going to fly by.
Whatever it is, it was in the blink of an eye, and I know that it was worth it for me not to be, you know, worrying about $260,000.
Okay.
So, Jesus. You know, I mean, that's my testimony, y'all. I'm just saying, like, make it work for you. Use these credit cards wisely. Use the benefits. Even if it does come with an annual fee, like, make sure that it's that you're using it in a way that it's going to work for you and the card will pay for itself. You know what I mean? Like, it does. United, I think there's a monthly fee, but no, there's not. There's an annual fee for the United Chase card. Okay. However, we get the two passes to the lounge every single year. Okay. So those are some perks, you know, that if you don't use it, you lose it. And you're paying the annual fee. But so if you don't fly on United,
you might as well use it.
Right. So and then you can transfer points, y'all. So if I wanted to fly on like Emirates, I would transfer the points from City Premier, from my Capital One, and transfer them to the Emirates loyalty program. So, like, honestly, you can transfer between airlines. So, say I want to fly international, Hawaiian, for instance. Hawaiian's not international, but, like, I can transfer my credit card points to Hawaiian Airlines and use it to go to Hawaii through Hawaiian Airlines.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, y'all, just make it work for you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All
right.
Smart.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, yeah. So.
Think smarter, not harder.
You know, get them triple points when you can.
Right.
Good stuff, Daisy. Thank you.
Yeah,
and
y'all.
And Darren, thank you.
Of course.
Yeah.
Some good insight.
So, yeah, we encourage you all, be smart about your credit. Be absolutely smart about your credit. You know, have it work in your favor, but please don't think that just because you run up the cards, you don't have to pay. Because you will have to pay.
No, you definitely will pay. Will have to pay.
You will
even
pay.
If you settle, you're going to have to build it out over some
especially
years.
Especially if
you know?
You're trying to make big purchases like a car, a house, even renting.
Yeah.
Your credit score needs to be
get that credit score
good.
Up. You
but
know?
Yeah, because if not, you're going to be facing interest. If you want to go buy another car, if you want to get a loan for anything else, they're going to charge you more interest.
Yeah.
Compared to if you have better credit, they're going to charge you less interest.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So pay it twice a month, you know, pay it down, pay the same imbalance, and never, ever miss a payment.
Ever.
That's one of the keys. Never, ever miss a payment.
Yes. All right, y'all.
All right, you guys, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Trust
in
the
Lord
with
all
your
heart
and
lean
not
on your
own
understanding.
In
all
thy
ways acknowledge
him,
and he shall
direct
thy
path.
Take care. God bless.
Have a great week.
I'm only coming out to play. Nothing more that I hate.